Big business weighs in on the GOP's health care plan, and maybe not the way you'd expect. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio. Some powerful players in the healthcare industry are lining up to say what they think about the House GOP plan to replace Obamacare. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams is live in Washington.
Right, Mark. Hospitals, doctors, nurses, and insurers are all expressing concern, if not outright rejection, of the GOP's American Health Care Act. A group of hospital associations, including the Association of Medical Colleges and the Children's Hospital Association, said it couldn't support the act as currently written because it, quote, could lead to tremendous instability for those instability for those seeking affordable coverage. That group also echoed concerns from the insurance industry about Medicaid restructuring, saying it could result in current patients losing coverage and cuts to programs serving the most vulnerable. Now, earlier this week, doctors from the American Medical Association and the American Organization of Nurse Executives also said they couldn't support the act as it's written. Now, this legislation does have the support of the White House, and House GOP leaders say they expect it to pass.
Marketplace's Kimberly Adams in Washington, thank you. The French election is next month, and the impact could ripple across the global economy. There has been a lot of focus in this race on immigration and scandal, but we want to look at the worldwide economic impact. Let's do that with Sophie Petter, Paris Bureau Chief for The Economist. Hello, Sophie.
Hello, pleased to be with you.
So how important is this race when we think in the context of the big picture impact across Europe and across the global economy?
I think it's hugely important because of the fact that Marine Le Pen on the far right is number one in the polls for first round voting. That doesn't mean she'll necessarily win, but if she did, you're talking about a candidate who wants to essentially break up the euro. And this has been the sort of pillar of stability on continental Europe, at any rate. Starting now, just at a moment when actually there has been a little bit more of a kind of stable period for the single currency zone in Europe, which is helping to bring back growth, albeit, you know, slowly, to start thinking now about breaking it up, the uncertainty that that would bring would be hugely destructive for the European economy and would bring a real moment of turbulence.
So when we think about the leading candidates, we have the hardliner Marine Le Pen, we have the center-right candidate François Fillon, and then this independent newcomer Emmanuel Macron. What are the key differences in how they look at business, trade, and economic policy?
Those two candidates, the centrist and the centre-right, are actually fairly similar. I mean, they have quite a reformist programme to different degrees. They want to loosen up the labour market. They want to bring down public spending, which is very high in France. Marine Le Pen has got an entirely different policy. I mean, in many ways, she's a far-right candidate with a very left-wing economic programme. And she is wanting to do things like bring down retirement age, increase public spending in some areas. But the big plank of her economic policy is this idea that she's going to revive the economy by pulling France out of the euro. And that would be a historic decision for the country if ever that were to come to it.
Now, we've seen surprises with the presidential election here in America with the Brexit vote. This race, polls show it to be tight. It's not clear which candidates could make it into a likely runoff. But what outcome are investors in Europe betting on, and how confident are they in the polling we're seeing so far?
Well, I think the markets have been very jittery about the possibility of Marine Le Pen winning. If you actually look at the procedure, it's quite difficult for her to win, partly because you have two rounds. So in the second round, there is a chance for everybody else to sort of gang up on her and eliminate her. But markets are not at all confident, and we've been humbled so many times in the last year that there has been, particularly in the bond markets, has been some concern about a Marine Le Pen victory.
Okay, Sophie Petter, Paris Bureau Chief for The Economist. Thanks very much.
You're very welcome.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down in global trading. Let's stay with Europe for a moment, where traders are watching for news out of the European Central Bank coming next hour. It's expected to keep interest rates where they are in a rocky time ahead of high-stakes elections in France, as we just mentioned, but also around the corner in the Netherlands. In the UK, stocks are down 0.8%. In Germany, shares down 0.3%. Asian markets closed mostly lower. Housing prices are on the rise, and with that, we're seeing a big return of the flipper. Flipping is buying and selling a house within a year. The idea, which so many reality shows are built around, is to buy a house cheap, fix it up, and sell it for a big profit. A new study from Adam Data Solutions shows house flipping at a 10-year high. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer looks at just what this says about our housing market.
There's a shortage of houses on the market that are in good condition, so flippers are able to sell the houses they fix up easily. But all this flipping is driving up home prices. So, are we looking at a housing bubble?
We're headed in that direction.
That's Darren Bloomquist of the real estate data crunching firm Adam Data Solutions. He says we're in the middle of a typical real estate boom and bust cycle, and the bubble will eventually pop.
And at some point, I would expect to see a correction.
As in, prices will fall.
But certainly not a correction to the extent of what we saw 10 years ago.
That correction was the housing crisis. Anthony Sanders teaches finance at George Mason University. He says we're not in for another one of those. Because we don't have a credit bubble, flippers have to have good credit to get a loan. Still, Sanders says new homeowners could be hurt when the bubble bursts.
That's the danger of bubbles. Last one in, first one hurt.
Which could be one reason flippers are starting to get out of the game. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, a big tourism industry driver is proving to be a wild card. Washington, D.C. gets a spending boost this time of year as visitors stream in to see the famous cherry trees in full bloom. It is a big deal for restaurants and hotels, but weather has been unusual this year, meaning forecasters have to change their tune. The National Park Service now says the peak bloom will come later than expected because of the recent cold snap. So if you are aiming to score that perfect cherry tree selfie, March 19th is now that bloom, and that window is expected to open in D.C. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.